Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's Jodie with you today on Absolutely Everybody. The time is 4 minutes past midday, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. It's going to be a great chatting experience with all the girls, so welcome. And we have in the studio today Dr. Catherine Barrett from La Trobe University. Catherine is Senior Research Fellow, Chief Investigator, Coordinator, Sexual Health and Ageing Program. Welcome, Catherine.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Lovely to be in this esteemed company this afternoon. Thank you.
Oh, we love her, don't we?
We do.
Catherine, you have quite a reputation within the health sector in terms of what the work you do. Just quickly, apart from your work at La Trobe University, what other projects are you involved in? I know you're involved in Val's Cafe and
Val's Cafe is our large LGBTI ageing and aged care project. But the work that we do is around sexuality and sexual health more broadly. So it's the rights of older people to sexual expression, the right to sexual and gender diversity, the right to be free from sexual assault, the right to information about STIs, all those things that young people, I think, take for granted, and that those of us that are in our 50s are going, well, you know, we demand the right to be sexual. And no one's taking that away from us. We have actually taken it away from older people.
Yeah, and that's a really... I mean, I want to talk about the Norma's project in a moment. But just on a... I guess it's topical because there was a show on the other night around older sex workers. And when I talk about older, I'm talking... There was one lady who was 84.
Wow, 84. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And I was actually telling Zoe, I felt quite... confronted by her story because not because she was actually there was lots of different reasons why they were they'd chosen that as a career path, I guess. One of the predominant things was that they actually really enjoyed sex, and that's great. But with the older lady, she was quite fragile, and I think I felt confronted because of the potential for her safety, and she looked really vulnerable.
I think it's really interesting. One of the things that interests me about that story, I didn't see the program and I'm going to see if I can find it, is that we don't think of older people as sexual. And so we don't think of them as sex workers, certainly. And, you know, I wonder if that 84-year-old had been a sex worker all her life. And, you know, I mean, my first response was, you know, are these women who are making empowered decisions? And, you know, I hope that they are.
And I have to say, and I'll just, you know, because you didn't see it, and I thought it was really well done. I thought that they did actually, all of the women had seemed to be making those choices, which was fantastic. And one woman had actually bought a property. And again, it goes back to the safety thing, which we can talk about in a moment about safety. But was that she'd bought a property in the country so that she could have a lot of men coming without... judgment from her neighbours.
See, I'd be concerned that about me. That. Yeah, that just the distance, you know, being anyone at any age.
She
being
seemed really
so
comfortable,
far out.
Though. Wow. And so the filmmaker actually really portrayed these women as quite empowered, which was a good thing.
And had she chosen to be a sex worker later in her life? Had she always been a sex worker? Do you remember?
No, I didn't. I don't recall that. I think I kind of came into it as this woman was coming down the stairs in her gorgeous negligee, all abreast, and talking very animatedly about the man that was coming to visit her and how she was going to make him a cup of tea afterwards.
That was fantastic.
That was all good. It was just, it's an interesting thing about the sexuality and people... What a great step forward, though, on a commercial television station showing a documentary like that around older women.
It's fantastic. And I think the idea of older people as sexual and making empowered choices is a really positive stance.
So Norma's project.
Yeah, sometimes experiences aren't quite as positive as we'd like them to be across the whole of society, and particularly, Catherine, you've done some research around sexuality and, well, sexual assault and older women.
We have. So we've recently released a report called Norma's Project, and Norma was an 84-year-old woman that we knew who went into respite care and was sexually assaulted by a staff member. And we were aware of, you know, working in the area, you hear people tell your stories. So we were aware that, that you know, this is something that does happen. We don't know how prevalent it is, but we decided there was a need to document a body of evidence so that we could say, so that we could acknowledge that there is a problem here. Older women are targeted for sexual assault and we need to do something about it. So we had 95 people share with us 66 stories about the sexual assault of older women, and we now have a body of evidence that says there is a problem here, we need to do something about it.
It's interesting because one of the recommendations from the report was the inclusion of older women as a specific group in existing and future government and NGO policy frameworks related to gender-based violence. Just something that's not recognised, obviously. And that goes back to older women not being seen as... It, I mean, it sounds like a terrible... To put the two together, that they would not be sexually attractive, so therefore they're not sexually abused. Is that the way of thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, what people... There seems to be a commonly held myth that... that old age is a protective factor against sexual assault.
But in fact, guess that's what I'm getting at, yeah.
But in fact, and there is a myth that sexual assault is about sexual attraction and that older women aren't sexually attractive, so therefore who would sexually assault an older woman? And so, you know, a lot of older women that whose stories were shared with us, when they disclosed that they had been sexually assaulted, they weren't believed or they certainly weren't heard.
And so we're
saying there's a starting point here that is around recognition that older women are sexual and are targeted for sexual assault, that some older men perpetrate sexual assault. So most of the stories that were shared with us were older women being sexually assaulted by a partner or a family member. And so we need to recognise that this is a problem, and we need to end the silence.
And that's no different, really, when you look across the spectrum, I suppose, when you look at that landscape of sexual assault and violence, that it is about power. And in fact, when I think about it, the reverse would be true if that was the case, where the expectation of, you know, we may be thinking it's happening once or twice, or, you know, that it's only a small incidents that may be happening. But in actual fact, if you look at the most vulnerable people in our society, then if it's about power, they're definitely going to be the grouping that, you know, would logically to me, I may be completely off track here, but yeah, it would make sense to me that they would potentially be the highest target.
Be targeted. And that's why, you know, Jodie's point about national strategies to end violence against women and their children, they must include older women. We can't leave older women out because, you know, it's making a statement that we're not valuing older women, really.
Yeah. Yeah. What age does it go up to? What the strategy?
There was a story shared of an older woman who was... Oh, sorry. Of an older woman who was sexually assaulted at 99. No, but just older women are not identified as part of
that strategy.
Strategies. Not in a really comprehensive
way. It's not even acknowledged.
Yeah, wow.
Not in a way that says that these are some of the factors that particularly pertain to older women. These are some of the things that make older women vulnerable, and how are we addressing those? Yeah.
Is there some training around... Because as a social work student, where... taught from day one basically to always listen and hear the person's story and not be the expert. The person is the expert in their story. Is there a way that we can sort of get people to be more conscious of the fact that if someone is telling them they've been assaulted, then they deserve to have their story heard and believed, and have some steps taken to either rectify the situation or at least have a person be believed in a way that's important to them? Is there a way that we can get service providers in aged care facilities and places like that to actually be more conscious of how they interact with residents.
That's one of the that's a very astute comment. It's one of the recommendations of the report that needs to happen, that we need to listen differently. And not just for people working in residential aged care. One of the really powerful stories for me from the report was a home care worker, and there was an older woman who was being sexually assaulted by her husband. She'd tried to tell the family, they weren't listening, and a home care worker went in and really listened. And this woman then, it was a year after she'd first reported it to her family, a year later, a home care worker really listened and she disclosed. They put in services to support her and her life turned around.
Wow.
So that's the power of listening. And, you know, this we're talking about Norma's project and around sexual assault of older women. But if we were to really, really all be listening, then it would be a different world for older LGBTI people as well too, if we listened without judgment.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's a whole... That's we can talk about a little bit more about that. And people can get a copy of Norma's project downloaded
from normasproject.org.au or go to the Arches Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University website.
Yeah, great. We were just talking about we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. If you know some progressive policy or strategies, then you can text us in on 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569-JOY, sorry, 569949. And previous to that song, we were talking about sexual assault and Norma's project and the outcomes of that. If you or someone you know needs to talk about either something that has happened to them or something that's concerning you about someone else, then you can call 1-800-RESPECT. That's the Centre for Against Sexual Assault, and you can be heard, listened to, believed, and they will not judge your call. So that's 1-800-RESPECT. That's a national line.
Yeah, and we were just talking actually with Catherine in the break about and before about listening, how important listening is to people and people in the LGBTI community, because you know, people's identity is really important to their health and well-being. But we'll talk about bit more about that at the moment in a moment. We just had the Global AIDS Conference a couple of weeks ago, which was an amazing event. We still have people talking about it around Joy.
I'm still recovering.
I know.
It was huge.
It was incredible.
Pretty epic.
It was fantastic. But talking about HIV, Catherine, you were saying the stigma and discrimination around people with HIV is still very prevalent.
It is. So my colleague, Dr. Anthony Lyons, published a paper that looked at older HIV-positive gay men's experiences of health and well-being and found that stigma and discrimination in services was the biggest predictor of subjective well-being. So it was the thing that impacted on their health and well-being the most. So we clearly need to educate service providers, not just in residential aged care but in the community, acute, subacute. Everybody needs education on the needs of people ageing with HIV so that stigma and discrimination is knocked out, I reckon.
Do you think that the fact that there's been no campaign to promote the fact that people are living long lives with HIV now is something that isn't at the forefront of most people's consciousness in the broader community? There were some facts even that I discovered at the AIDS conference that I didn't know about. Yeah. How do we negotiate that education?
Well, it's interesting. I had a conversation this morning with Jane Howard from the HIV Consultancy Service at the Alfred Hospital. And the work that she's doing is and her team are doing is quite extraordinary. They're going into aged care services or home care services when they have a HIV positive client and providing education to the staff members so that their fears can be addressed so that staff understand, you know, from the perspective of the HIV positive client, and so that client gets the best possible care. And that program is really quite extraordinary. What we need a lot of that kind of education that really addresses service providers' fears, so that stigma and discrimination is wiped out.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that in the media there are stories that I just read today around somebody that had contact with 300 people and had HIV, and everyone's being tested and they found no one had. You wonder what the facts are around it, don't you?
Mm. Well, in fact, we've spoken to a lot of aged care service providers who've never had any education on HIV, and the only thing they know is from the Grim Reaper campaign in the 1980s. So they think, you know, that they have someone that's HIV positive and the whole service is going to get wiped out and they're going to take HIV home to their kids. So they're absolutely petrified.
Mm. Wow.
So we need to address those fears so that people that are HIV positive, so that they have the best possible care that they can have.
Mm. It's like going back to the 90s, isn't it? When you think about the education in that area, it was so, I was so in the middle of all of that education and public health strategies and promotion, and I find it astounding that particularly the aged care sector, being part of that health sector, have missed out, of course, in that area.
Well, Zoe, I think it's not just aged care services. Mm. So there are lots of stories that are shared with us about, you know, HIV-positive people going into an acute hospital, if you like, for a hip replacement, let's say, for example. And the nurse says, what are these medications for? Oh, they're my antiretrovirals. What are they for? HIV. And the nurse goes out and comes back in with gown, gloves, mask, the lot. So there's not been the education in the acute sector or the subacute or rehab.
Wow.
So we've got to educate.
There's a lot of work.
So that people that are HIV positive are not disadvantaged.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the Global AIDS Conference, they had a fantastic campaign on older people with HIV. They actually had a visual photographic exhibition of older people living with HIV. And there are some, I guess, peripheral conditions for people growing older. What are some of the not the complications, but for the person living with HIV from a health perspective? Do they have any things that they have to negotiate as they get older?
Jody, I'd need to say that I'm not a HIV expert.
Yeah.
My area of expertise is around sexuality.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may be that there is somebody that we get in to speak on the show at another time in the future, because I don't think I would do the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Just as my area of interest in relation to people that are ageing with HIV is really around educating service providers and giving them the information and resources they need so that they can provide the best possible care and services.
Yeah. And I think it's important that they, you know, that people know the whole story, including what the person may be going through as they get older. But this show is about social inclusion.
Sure
which
is
why we talk about these things, because really it is about absolutely everybody, and, you know, people need to get information and know what they're dealing with instead of jumping to conclusions about people with HIV or whatever the case may be. You know, whether you've got two heads, whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's about celebrating diversity.
It's celebrating diversity. And at the exactly. And we often find with these situations, it is about information and education, which can make a difference. So, Catherine, we were discussing the fact that we've got so much to talk about with you. What are some of the things that you've got going on at the moment? You're talking about the trans education program that one of your colleagues is running.
Well, just to take one step back, so one of the projects I'm involved in, Carolyn White is the coordinator of Val's Cafe, which is around promoting the health and wellbeing of older LGBTI Australians. People can go to our website, valscafe.org.au. And we've got about 14 projects at the moment, but one of the really important projects, one of the important ones, is a project around trans ageing and experiences of aged care. And the project coordinator, Joe Latham, has been interviewing older trans people about their experiences of ageing and aged care, and, you know, some people who have never told their stories before. And we're hearing the most extraordinary experiences of discrimination, and not just in aged care services, but also trans people who are being abused, I think, by their family members, who are incredibly fearful of discrimination. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of educating service providers and community members about the needs of older trans people.
And, of course, you know, the statistics show that trans people have a higher rate of suicide than gay people even. So if that translates into an older person who might be feeling more vulnerable, it can be quite difficult for an older trans person.
Well, I think one of the things that we forget, those of us who work in the LGBTI area, I think one of the things that we forget is we talk about older gay and lesbian people and their historical experiences of discrimination and what it was like for them when being gay or lesbian was or bisexual was part of the DSM and considered to be a madness. Trans people are still in there. Mm. And that's a really difficult place to be. That's what people are saying to us. Mm. This is a really difficult place to be. You know, this is still being pathologized. You know, there's not celebrations of trans aging and trans people's stories. And so you know, trans people are, you know, still being extraordinarily disadvantaged. Mm.
And they're so invisible too. I mean, just people actually identifying that trans people are out there, let alone that they may be in an aged care facility or in their community or their next door neighbour.
I'm just curious. I have a question around that and out of pure ignorance. But with because the transitioning is the technology is so available now, would a lot of people in the older age bracket not have been able to transition because of their age?
Yeah.
I'm really curious, yeah.
Yes, that's an important point. And Zoe was talking about trans invisibility. One of the other things that we're finding is that for some older trans people who haven't had access to the treatments and surgeries that they've needed, that they can be more visible, and that can make them more vulnerable to discrimination, in fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, so much to talk about,
isn't
there? I know,
and now we've got to talk about this conference too. Yes.
We're very excited. Val's Cafe is hosting the inaugural National LGBTI Ageing and Aged Care Conference, sponsored by the City of Melbourne at the Melbourne Town Hall on the 28th and 29th of October, and we're bringing together service providers and educators and LGBTI groups from around the country. We've got a couple of ministers that we're waiting to confirm.
That's exciting.
And so 2 days of all things LGBTI, ageing and aged care. We're very excited.
That's fantastic. So and we should point out that that's during Seniors Month, which is in October, and Seniors Week, I think, is from the 5th to the 12th of October, and we're hoping to do something on joy for that week as well and hook in with the conference. So it's going to be a very exciting month. So we'll be able to talk more about this sort of stuff.
If people are wanting to, A, go to the conference, or maybe they are a carer or trans person who's out there listening to this, or your dementia project, I know trying to get feedback in that area as well. If people are interested, where should they contact to follow up?
Go to the Val's Cafe website. So valscafe.org.au.
Yep.
You have a lot of email websites to remember, don't you, Catherine?
Yeah. just a couple. The Val's Cafe one is a really important one.
Yeah.
And people can download the information about the conference. We've kept the cost really, really low, and we're hoping to have about 300.
Oh, that's probably an exclusive affair.
It is. Probably mostly. We're really targeting this at service providers and the education of service providers predominantly.
I think we should get you back before the conference.
Be happy to come back.
And have a chat so we can then really remind people about the conference. So if you'd like to hear anything that's been happening on today's show, a comment, or if you have your feedback, we'd love to hear from you. SMS us on 0427JOY949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Catherine Barrett, thank you so much for coming in today. We've really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and just to encourage people, get on the Val's Cafe website and have a look at the work we're doing. Thank you.
And we just had Dr. Catherine Barrett on it. Such a great conversation.
There is so much going on out there. There are people doing just amazing things.
But I felt like we had to kind of whiz through it.
Yeah.
And we're definitely having Catherine back, and we've got some other really great subjects to talk about on the show coming up over the coming weeks. So we'll try and go a little bit more in-depth into some of those areas like carers and ageing, you know, trans issues in particular.
Trans and ageing, I'd be really interested about that, particularly the hormone stuff. How does that affect your body and your mind, and as you're getting older and there's all those other medications, and wow, it'd be really interesting.
Yeah, that's right. So we've actually, this is the community notice board now. We've moved things a bit around.
Yeah.
Community notice board is about what people are doing in the community and what you could potentially be doing. We try and focus on events that are fairly inexpensive, but also things that, you know, could possibly get you out and about. Last week we had Julia on the show, and we talked about connecting with people, and one of the ways you can do that is by getting out and about. So, Amy, what have you got?
Yeah, well, the Melbourne Fringe Festival is launching today. And they've got an event on tonight, I think, and they've had one on this morning. And the Fringe itself runs from the 17th of September until the 5th of October, and there will be heaps of events on around town. So get on the internet and find some stuff that tickles your fancy. Also, at the moment, we have the Melbourne International Film Festival, and that's running at the moment around town, and there's heaps of really interesting films on at the moment from all over the world, all sorts of different topics, very enlightening. So get along there and check some things out, meet some people. I know I had a story the other day about people who met in the queue for the Melbourne International Film Festival. Yeah. And they met 2 years in a row, decided to date, and then got married.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's wonderful.
Connecting.
Yeah. And there's so much on at Melbourne Film Festival during the day as well. Because sometimes it's hard to find things during. There's plenty of things in the evening, but sometimes it's harder during the day. But they've got heaps of stuff all through Acme down at Fed Square and the Forum, all over the place.
And that's sort of topical, talking about older people who are retired. There's a lot you can be doing during the day if you want to get out and about. And going to see a film, I reckon, is a great thing to do.
Yeah. I must say I'm a little bit addicted at the moment. I think I've been to about 7 films in the last few weeks.
Oh, look at you. Go hard.
Yes,
or
I know,
go
because
home.
I rang Amy and guess what she was going to see?
Oh, what?
I'm going to dob her in. The Planet of the Apes.
Now, how was it? Because I remember watching the TV series and loving it.
I really enjoyed it. I can't say that it was a masterpiece, but.
Really?
Well. But then I thought the CGI and animation aspects of the apes was pretty amazing. The story kind of lost me a little bit towards the end, but I did really enjoy it, and I really enjoyed the first one. And I'm not ashamed to admit I'm a sci-fi nerd, so I'll see pretty much anything
so
sci-fi.
So there you go. You're into sci-fi.
a shout-out to Sci-Fi and Scream, as I've been on there a couple of times, talking about my various passions.
Oh, there you go.
And, yeah, I just enjoy going along to the movies. I take myself to the movies and sit quietly
so we
in
could
the
have,
dark room.
We could have a new segment on Absolute Everybody Movie Reviews with Amy.
Yeah,
we
could. I'm not sure we will, but we could.
I'm off to the Lunchbox tonight. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that looks good.
Yeah,
yes.
That's about Indian woman who starts putting notes in the lunchbox of her beloved and something gets mixed up and it ends up in someone else's lunchbox, these love notes. And what ensues there?
That sounds
we're
good.
We're yet to find out. So I'm looking forward to that
tonight. Well, I'm going to see a movie tomorrow night, but I don't know what it is yet. So there you go. I'm just still deciding. I think I might be going to see the David Gulpel.
Oh, Charlie's Country.
Yeah.
Great.
But that
really
depends
great film.
On the time. So there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is 7:07 at the moment and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody. You're listening to Community Notice Board. Zoe, did you have anything else that you know that's happening in the community that people could go along to?
Oh, my goodness.
Am I putting you on the spot here?
I'm just trying to think. See, I'm not memory girl.
No.
but there's a heap of things to do.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking, what could I go to? Apart from your local paper being a great resource, there's also some of the queer papers that are out there. You can go online to the Star Observer.
Yep.
They've got a whole heap of things that are out and about. But yeah, you can always ring Switchboard and they'll let you know what's going on.
Hey, and we're at the end of Absolutely Everybody today.
Already.
I've been a bit sleepy today because Zoe's been panelling, which has been a real luxury for me. But thanks for joining us. And we really encourage people to ring into 1800 Respect because if you have any issues that you want to discuss, it's really important that you look after yourself.
Yeah. Or someone that you know. Sometimes that can affect you just as much.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So we'll come back with more on that conversation. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. And I'll be back next week. And have a great week, everyone. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.